Thanks for tuning in for this podcast of Faith in Action presented by Catholic Radio Indy. If this programming is of value to you, please consider making a financial donation to support our efforts in producing these offerings. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org. And now, here's Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, great to be with you. And today we're going to be talking with Tom Poncheck. He is the Director of Adult Faith Formation at Our Lady Mount Carmel, but we're actually going to be talking about his reversion story. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thanks.
I'd love to have you just as a regular. We could just talk. We could just talk forever about anything. Okay, so you grew up Catholic.
Yes.
And this is going to be a good story, I think, for people that, you know, maybe have left the church and want to come back, or just for maybe parents or grandparents who have kids or spouses or family members that have left to kind of have hope. So I hope that this story will be encouraging for people listening no matter where you're at. But talk a little bit about growing up, mm-hmm. and then maybe what happened, and then sure. maybe how you came back.
No problem.
This is going to be a monologue, a tomologue, right?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
So I grew up just outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
In a very Catholic family. We were very involved in our parish. And I through high school, was very involved in youth group and very involved in my faith, developed a relationship with Christ in high school, and decided to go to Franciscan University of Steubenville to study theology. Originally, I was discerning the priesthood.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And had some good spiritual director there, one of the friars. And after about a year or so of discernment, decided I was called to married life. But still wanted.
And your kids are happy about that.
They are. So is my wife.
How many kids do you have?
I've been married 25 years. We have 6 children.
That's awesome.
And they range in age from 5 to 24. So we got.
So if you need parenting advice,
yes,
you can go to Tom for that too.
It's another show.
Exactly.
And so I continued studying theology. I figure I wanted to work in youth ministry and religious education, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. as a career. And
you're doing that now.
I am.
And so that's kind of cool. Got you there.
So I met my wife at school at Franciscan. We got married just after graduating, and took a job. First job out of college was a youth minister just outside of Washington, D.C.
Okay.
It was not a good experience. It was a parish.
We all have those,
yes,
right?
You know? Yes. We moved there not really having any friends or family near us, so we're kind of out of our own. We got pregnant on our honeymoon. So a lot of changes going on.
Yeah.
The parish itself, I didn't really take a lot of time to learn about the parish. Wasn't really a great fit. And so spent a year there and decided, you know, we need a better fit. So I got a job teaching religion at a Catholic high school in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Okay.
So we moved there, and I taught religion for 3 years, loved it. And we got involved with parishes there in the area doing youth ministry, but really we're running up against a lot of frustrations. A lot of the attitudes that we had encountered. I remember sitting in on meetings with parents talking about youth ministry and the general thought, and someone actually said, "Well, look, these kids, they're going to lose their faith when they go to college anyway. So if we do a lot of fun stuff when they get married or when their kids are ready to be baptized, they'll think, hey, I had fun when I was Catholic. We'll just go back to the Catholic Church." And not exactly a great mindset.
Yeah, definitely. And especially so, if you've worked in youth ministry, you kind of know there's a lot more involved with that. You
yes,
know?
And it doesn't really happen anymore. Like, sure. That might have happened in days past. But mm-hmm. And so at the same time, we were really having a hard time with the parishes there, just kind of fitting in and finding people that were serious about their faith, finding mm-hmm. having a sense of community and connection.
That's the thing. Like when you go to Steubenville or you have a conversion and you're like really looking for that community,
yes.
and those people
yeah.
that you can really share your faith with that are excited about it, mm-hmm. it's difficult, you know?
It is. It's very difficult. I mean, it was a very intense experience being in Steubenville for years and
definitely
and immersed in that community, and then just kind of be off on your own. And so after teaching 3 years there, my wife and I and another friend of mine we decided, what we did was we reached out to a local non-denominational church.
And I think a lot of Catholics do that. They're looking for
and fellowship,
you know?
Yeah. And we met with the pastor, said, look, we're not interested in leaving the church, but we need some fellowship. Can we come to your small groups during the week? And so that's what we did. For a year, we would go to Mass on Sunday and go to small groups during the week. And we just formed really great relationships and connection and just a depth of community there that over time, it's just kind of, we drifted away from the Catholic Church and joined this non-denominational church. I left my job teaching, which is a little bit of a step into the unknown at the time, but then I eventually became a pastor of this non-denominational church. It was the Vineyard. There's a Vineyard here, and actually there's a Vineyard
right next door
to the studio here. And we'll go over there
and evangelize, right?
Yeah. And so my wife and I were living in Florida at the time, and we moved to Lakeland, Florida, kind of in the center of the state, and started our own Vineyard church there. And did that for about 4 years or so.
So you grew up pretty much a devout Catholic family.
Yes.
Had a good experience in youth group.
Scott Hahn as my theological, as my academic advisor.
Oh my gosh.
And then I pulled in opposite Scott Hahn and, yeah.
And, you know, went to Steubenville, had Scott Hahn as your spiritual academic advisor, and then became a pastor.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And if you're just joining us right now, this mystery guest is Tom Ponchek, who is back. He's back. He's the director of adult faith formation at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So go on.
What happened then?
So you're a pastor for 4 years. That had to have been interesting.
Yes, it was. We intentionally did a kind of an alternative church. We did a house church model
where we were meeting
in our home. And then when we got too big for that, we split into two groups and we would get together once a month as a large group. But the whole time, you know, we didn't leave angry at the Catholic Church or anything. And it wasn't
like a theological thing either, right?
Right. It was more of just a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I was a pastor, well, in my church, we were doing Liturgy of the Hours. We were celebrating liturgical seasons.
It's becoming Catholic, right?
And I used my Steubenville household format for the Lord's Day celebration that we do there as our liturgy.
Yeah.
I took the readings from the...
Yeah, the Protestants steal all our good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's true. Hey, why not? It's good.
And so our third daughter came along, and I wanted to baptize her. And, you know, as evangelical church, that were infant baptism wasn't really a big thing. So I did a teaching series on it for about 3 or 4 weeks, and about the legitimacy of infant baptism and what baptism really is, and that it does something. It's not just a symbol. And baptized my daughter and a couple other babies along the way. And it just got to the point where I think for my wife and I, we started thinking we're kind of reinventing the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
We really missed the Eucharist. We would have communion every week in our church, and everyone in our, all of the people that were part of our church were really touched and really felt it was a powerful experience. For us, we kind of looked at it and said,
That's not Jesus.
This isn't it.
That's not it.
And so we came back to the church in 2007. So we were away for about 10 years. I was a pastor, like I said, about 4 of those years.
So what, we've got about 4 minutes left. What was it? I mean, was there like a single moment, or was it more of a process, or...
Mm-hmm. That brought us back?
Yeah.
I think we drifted away and we drifted back. What really kind of drew us back was just we wanted a richness and a depth to our faith for our kids to experience that we treasured. And again, really just that weekly going and receiving communion, but realizing there was just something missing that wasn't the body and blood of Jesus.
So when you came back, I mean... Being gone for 10 years, I mean, did you find when you came back, did you find community? Did you see like, wow, some things have changed here?
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like? What was that experience like? Were you happy?
We've had a great experience since coming back. We've seen a lot of change within the church, a lot more emphasis on community, on evangelization, on having a relationship with Christ.
All the things that you're seeking, and that you had experience at Steubenville.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, you
yes.
know.
And to be honest, the first year back was hard. The parish we were in, we just had a hard time. No one was no one would say hi to us at Mass or after Mass or anything like that. But we switched parishes and found at the time a young adult group that we really just connected with, and it's been a great experience since.
So we got about 3 minutes left. So what about people that are listening that mm-hmm. maybe want to come back, mm-hmm. or maybe are praying for other people to come back? What, you know, what advice do you have for them, or what guidance would you give for them, for people either considering coming back or that are have family members? What do you do?
Sure. Pray mm-hmm. Would be the first one. And I think, you know, give space. I think if we had, my parents were kind of freaked out by the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that, there was a little bit of resistance to wanting to give in to the mm-hmm. freaking out, you know?
Yeah. Like if they said, oh, okay, fine, whatever.
It might have been easier, yeah.
Yeah, it may have been, well, okay. There is that thing, that dynamic between parents and kids, you know, mm-hmm. there's that dynamic.
I got to prove them.
Yeah, or I want to be independent of them, yeah. or whatever.
So, but I would say pray. I would say that particularly if you're in that situation where you're feeling like you're not connecting, I think one of the things we learned was if you can't find community, make community. Reach out to other people.
I was going to ask you that. You're talking about the parishes sometimes not giving you what you needed, and I'm mm-hmm. wondering when you came back whether the parishes has changed that much in dynamics, or whether you might have changed that much.
There's a little bit of both. There was definitely, I think we encountered more openness in the parishes from the pastoral team, to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there was that realization within us that, well, we just need to make this our thing and reach out to other people. And I would say, you know, the biggest thing is, as Catholics, we kind of tend to, especially at Mass on Sundays, we kind of close in on ourselves, look for other people that are out there, say hello, smile, be friendly. You know, when we did our house church, you know, our evangelization method, our method of growing our church was inviting people to our house for dinner. Invite people over, just say, hey, we'd like to have you over and come on over to our house. And that's how we got to know people. That's how we got to form community. That's how we got them to come to our church.
And, you know, look in the parish bulletin, there's got to be something. I mean, mm-hmm. every parish is doing something. Get involved in a ministry and you'll meet people and you'll find community that way. So that's another way. Well, Tom Ponchak, I can't believe it. We're out of time. This has been great. Thanks for coming in to talk about your reversion story, and anybody out there who's wanting to revert, you know,
they can contact me at the parish.
I'll okay. Talk to them. Give them your email there, Tom.
It's Ponchak, Ponchakt for Tom, at olmc1.org.
God bless you, Tom, and your ministry.
Thanks.
Ever since we've been on the air at Catholic Radio, we've always wanted to have billboards, but they just don't fit in our budget. And since you'll probably never see a real billboard for us, I'm going to ask you to do something, to imagine one. In your mind, picture a large, empty billboard. Yeah, that's it. Now pick a background color, any color at all. Okay, then across the top of your billboard, put just two words, Catholic Radio. Make them really big. Then below that, in even bigger letters, put 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Wow, that's a great billboard. Now, if this billboard were real, all of your friends and neighbors could see it, and they'd know all about Catholic Radio. But since it's only an imaginary billboard, we're going to have to depend on you to tell your friends about Catholic Radio. Remember, Catholic Radio 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Oh, and by the way, nice choice on that background color. It really looks good.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a ministry reaching out to Central Indiana and beyond. We have information available about what's happening in parishes here in the Hoosier Heartland, as well as access to the latest from Rome, plus apologetics and authentic Catholic teaching. We are your source for 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. On this part of our program today, we're going to shine a spotlight on one of our underwriters. The announcements that you hear throughout the day on Catholic Radio really aren't commercials as such. They're underwriting announcements, and basically they're acknowledging businesses in the area who have shared a portion of their marketing or advertising budget or any other budget, we're not fussy, with Catholic Radio. And in exchange for their support of Catholic Radio, they get announcements on the air acknowledging their gift and telling you a little bit about their business. But the announcements are only 30 seconds long, so there's only so much you can learn about a business in 30 seconds. So from time to time, we like to invite some of our underwriters in for a portion of a Faith in Action program here and give you a little bigger look, a little larger look at what their business is really all about. So we've got a business that you've been hearing about for quite a while here on Catholic Radio, and we're going to let you find out all about them.
Yes, you're going to hear the rest of the story. I couldn't resist that. I was dying to jump in there on that, Jim.
Just a little deeper voice next time.
A little deeper. I can never be Jim Ganley. He's the man. But the other two fine men that we have in our studio today, we have Steve Farmer and Andy Lichty, and they are real estate agents, right? From Real Estate for Life. Mm-hmm. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thanks for having us.
And we're having all sorts of fun talking about Father Kevin Haynes stories. We're going to out you, Father Kevin, just some really great stories about how you bring people to God, which is awesome. But so tell us a little bit about yourself. Were you from Rio Grande, or how do you know Father Kevin?
Sure.
You want to go first?
Yeah, my wife and Denise and I and our family's been at
St. Steve. Maria. Steve Farmer talking. Yeah, that's okay.
We've been at St. Maria Grady now for 12 to 13 years. Our 14-year-old is an eighth grader finishing up his junior high career at St. Maria Goretti.
Awesome.
And then we've got the two little ones getting ready to, that'll be there in a few years. So, we've gotten to know Father Kevin really well over at St. Maria Goretti. And, we've been very active over there. I also coach the football team at St. Maria Goretti. So
that's awesome.
That keeps me busy in the fall when we're not selling real estate in the spring and that sort of thing. So.
Absolutely.
And what about you, Andy?
Yeah, I actually have six kids. Actually,
wow.
I guess that's kind of one of the first things about me. So my wife and I, Holly, so we're parishioners of St. John Diani.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
a
great place.
Yeah, as far as our kids, we have three boys and three girls. So we
have Brady Bunch, but the original family, right?
It's kind of the Catholic Brady Bunch. Our three boys are Gabriel, Raphael, and Michael. So the archangels right there. And then we have three girls, Elizabeth and Grace, and then Mary. And they range anywhere from 9.5 years old as our oldest Gabe, and then our youngest Mary is 5 months. So our hands are full, overflowing with blessings, I guess you could say. So
that kind of tells you a little bit about your love for life, right? So tell us about Real Estate for Life. What exactly does that mean?
Sure.
So the way I came across Real Estate for Life early on in my real estate career by following Abby Johnson. She had plugged Real Estate for Life. And
tell us, for people in our audience who maybe don't know who Abby Johnson is.
So Abby Johnson's a big pro-life advocate. She worked for Planned Parenthood for years and years. She was a manager, ran one of their biggest offices, and then had a huge conversion process. It's a beautiful story that now she's one of the nation's leading pro-life advocates.
Yep.
She's actually been to St. Maria Goretti and was just there not too long ago, so I finally got to hear her speak live.
Oh, that's cool.
So I follow her on Facebook, and she made a plug for Real Estate for Life. So I started doing some digging. I've always been passionate about the pro-life world. As I mentioned, we've got three children ourselves. There's a huge gap between. We have a 14-year-old son, and then two little ones that were both adopted in 2017. So our oldest one of those two is about to turn two. So my wife and I have run the full gambit of fertility issues. If there's anything that could happen in that world, it's happened to us. And so
that's a whole nother topic.
Right.
We'll have you back on that and talk about that topic.
We've been. The adoption process, pro-life, all that has been very, it really means something special to me. So when I saw Real Estate for Life, I thought, okay, here's a way to co-mingle my passions along with my career. And so what it is we as agents can refer other agents outside of our normal area. And there's a referral fee involved. Typically it's 25%. So this gentleman up in Michigan decided to take that and turn it into a ministry. So what he does is you contact him. If you're going to buy or sell a home, he finds you a pro-life agent in your area, and then he gets that 25% referral fee of the agent's commission. He then passes that 90% of that fee on to whatever pro-life agency the client wants it to go to.
Oh, wow. So That's really awesome.
And it's, I mean, he's now up to, his name's David Tyson. I just talked to him last week, actually. I believe he's just knocking on the door to passing about $100,000 a year to,
beautiful.
To pro-life agencies across the country, actually across the world. He's international now as well, too. So, you know, and all of it, you know, it's all word of mouth, referral, mm-hmm. and, you know, advertising. He advertises on EWTN, mm-hmm. you know, here, and we advertise here locally on Catholic yep. Radio Indy. So it's a growing process, but it's a great way. I mean, everybody at some point needs to buy or sell a house. It's a mm-hmm. great way
no
to funnel money into the pro-life world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's such a great way. Andy, what about you? How did you find out about it? How long have you been involved in? And also, yeah. if you could tell me how long that Real Estate for Life has been operating too.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Well,
questions. It's sure, a press conference,
yeah,
right?
No, yeah. We'll also jump in. So Steve and I have known each other for, gosh, what, 15, 20 years, probably right. something like that. So I actually grew up with Steve's wife, Denise. So so that's, again, that's a whole other story. So mm-hmm. we all definitely go way back. But really, Steve and I have been working together. I've been in real estate for 14 years. 5 years now?
Six
years now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Steve's been in for 6 years. Steve was in the banking industry before. So we joined together and we have a team with FC Tucker. So so we have a team. We work together. And, you know, just being Catholic as well, too. Both of us converted
really?
Because of our awesome wives. So yeah. that's a whole other story as well. But
man, we're getting all sorts
absolutely.
Of line up here with these guys.
Absolutely. So when Steve kind of found this, it was really sort of, for lack of a better word, here, kind of his baby, so to speak. But I was just passionate.
Pun intended, right?
I guess, yeah, absolutely. So, but really, you know, the way he was just talking about it, you know, I was like, wow, that's something that, you know, I want to be able to support this and, you know, in any way I can. So while we both certainly work together and definitely support it, Steve is definitely a little bit more of the face of it. And I'm kind of more of the supporting role as it relates to the ministry itself.
Now, you were both in real estate before becoming associated with Realty for Life?
Correct. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. Exactly right. Yeah, I've been in the business since 2004. I was in it for quite a long period of time. And when Steve came in about 6 years ago, what was it, man? Maybe about a year or so.
I was into it about a year.
Yeah. And then that's when you kind of came across it. And we were, he told me about it. We were both like, man, this is awesome. What can we do to kind of share this and support this and really, you know, kind of combine, like what Steve said, our professional skills with, you know, service that we're passionate about. So
if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with, we're having an underwriter spotlight. We are talking with Steve Farmer and Andy Lichty of Real Estate for Life. And so is there a certain like geographical area that you kind of work in, or how does that work? If someone here is listening to us and they want to buy a house, where can you help them?
So with Real Estate for Life, my license allows me to go anywhere in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
normally in my real estate career, it's normally Hamilton County, Northern Marion County, the surrounding counties of Hamilton County.
And that's kind of our listening area. I mean, that
yep.
pretty much everybody mm-hmm. can hear yeah. us for the most part, right? Jim, sure. Jim's nodding. I'm like, I'm looking at him. What's the map say?
Right. And so with Real Estate for Life, I go well beyond my comfort level. And I just tell people up front, listen, this isn't normally the area I service. For example, I had a lady yesterday that I just spoke to that we're going to go looking for houses in Whiteland, Indiana. Mm-hmm. So, and I just told her up front, it's not my normal area. It's just going to require me to do a little more research on my end. It's not going to be any different really for you.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you know, folks understand that. I just let them know up front if I have to go that far out. The only time, the last one I turned down, and I helped David find another Catholic real estate agent down in the area. He had somebody that wanted to look right outside of Cincinnati. And I said, mm-hmm. you know what, that's a little bit
right. Well, we'll find someone down there right. for you, right?
Yeah,
sure, absolutely. And just to kind of piggyback off Steve there a little bit too. You know, really, I think our philosophy really is, you know, we want to serve the people that God puts in front of us to serve and entrust us to serve, no matter who they are. But yeah, our typical base is, you know, Hamilton County, the north side of Indianapolis. But you know, really, as far as it relates to the Real Estate for Life ministry part, you know, we feel like we're sort of connecting with people there that maybe share a similar conviction to a cause that's important to us. And so for that, you know, we're willing to travel certainly a lot further for that and you know, be, you know, and just be with people that want to share that conviction. So
I'm sure it's great, the people that you meet, because you automatically, mm-hmm. being Catholic,
yeah.
you automatically have that bond.
Absolutely.
And then,
100%.
You know, with the pro-life thing, you know, I mean, it's probably, I bet your work's really super fun.
It really is. And I mean, you really, that's one of my favorite things about this ministry is we're working every day with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it's, you know, I lead with my Catholic faith even in my business. Every single one of my clients know mm-hmm. I'm Catholic. They know I'm, you know, passionate about my faith.
Sure.
But, you know, this is, it opens that up even more when sure. you're working with people through real estate.
Well, we've got a couple of professionals here in the studio with us. If you could maybe off the top of your head just share a tip, the somebody thinking about selling a home, the first thing they should do, and somebody thinking about buying a home, the first thing they should do.
Or sure. contact Real Estate for Life.
Yeah, exactly.
They both jumped on that one.
No, really, truly, with the market the way it's been the last 2 years, you got to prepare a little bit ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you're putting your house on the market, there's things that we typically want to meet with you beforehand before you're ready to put the sign in your yard and
sure.
get ready to go. Because there's things you need to do to get the house ready. The last 2 years, though, the biggest thing you need to prepare for is finding a house where
yeah.
you're going to go. That's the hardest part right now of the real estate market. Is it's this? It really is. It's been a seller's market those last 2 years. So we need to prepare you ahead of time. Make sure your ducks are in a row. One of the biggest things I do is make sure my sellers are pre-approved for their mortgage to buy the house, because you don't want to find out you're not after you've mm-hmm. sold the house.
Sure. That's definitely for a buyer. I would say step one is getting pre-approved for a mortgage as well. And then, you know, as far as selling a house, one of the things that I share with people is selling a house is two things. It's a price war and a beauty contest. And so it's kind of our job.
A price war and a beauty contest.
That's your sound bite there. So, you know, it's one of those things, being able to partner, you know, with a local real estate professional that you trust, you know, that can really put you in that position to kind of win that price war and beauty contest is really important.
Now, if people want to contact either of you gentlemen, how would they go about doing that?
Sure.
The easiest way is to go to our website. It's realestateforlife.org. And there's the phone number on there. I could rattle off my cell phone number, but I don't want people driving, listening to this, trying
sure.
to write down my cell phone number. So realestateforlife.org is the yep. easiest way to contact us.
Yeah. Well, thanks. This has gone so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, we could
right.
talk for a really long time, but we're out of time. Steve Farmer and Andy Lichty for Real Estate for Life, thanks so much for being in the studio today, and God bless you and your work.
Yeah, God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas and happy
Absolutely.
Advent, right?
That's right.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.